Luke 1, verses 31 through 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. The angel tells Mary to name her baby Jesus. This name means Jehovah is salvation. His name declares his ministry to the world. His name tells us what he came to do. When the angel came to Joseph, he said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. How would this baby accomplish the salvation of his people? He would accomplish it by going to the cross in their place, where he would be judged by God in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is the good news. Christ becomes sin for us in order that we become the very righteousness of God. What an unbelievable thought. Christ came to die for the sins of his people, to save his people from their sins. Jesus didn't come to this world primarily to teach, though no one ever taught like him. Jesus didn't come into this world to heal, though he healed basically every sickness he ever encountered. Jesus did not come into this world to necessarily raise the dead, even though he broke up many funerals that he attended to. Jesus didn't come into this world to necessarily perform miracles, though he accomplished many during his time here. Jesus came into this world to die on the cross and to give his life a ransom for sinners. He came to give his life as a ransom in order that we would be able to be saved. Jesus came to this world to die for those who he loved. John 10:11 tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life. He came into this world to live and to die for his people. Every second that Jesus lived, from the second he was conceived until he cried, it is finished, and yielded up his spirit, it was for the purpose of leading him to Calvary, to make it even more personal. Let's get personal here today. You are the reason why he left heaven. You are the reason that he took upon himself humanity. You are the reason that he lived. You, if you be a child of God, you are the reason that he lived and why he died. If it was only to save one person, if that person be you, you are the reason that he rose again. He came here for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He did it for you. Here is what he said. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, let's put it this way. I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. When we say the name of Jesus, we're calling to mind the great price that he paid to save us. That's why it's so blasphemous to take his name in vain, when people just crudely use his name and shout out Jesus Christ. when his name comes to mind, we are to remember the great price that he paid. When we hear the name of Jesus, whisper the name of Jesus, meditate on the name of Jesus, we're to remember he came to die for his people. We call into mind the great price that he paid. We're remembering his boundless, his unconditional love. We're calling to mind his selfless sacrifice for us. When we say that name, Jesus, the loveliness of the name Jesus, the beauty of the name Jesus, when we breathe that name, we're talking about the God who loved us so much that he bore our sins. That he bore our sins, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ was born to die. Born to die for others, born to die for the sins of his people. When we whisper that name, we are saying quite a mouthful, the name of Jesus, the name that is above all name, the name that would declare the glory, the name that would speak of a king that would come one day. Daniel told us of a king, prophesied of a king in Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom that would be given to Christ. The kingdom that would rule and reign forever, this name, Jesus. The angel tells Mary to have a son in verse 33. Let's remind ourselves of the text. Luke 1, verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The name of Jesus Christ, the one who would rule and reign. The angel tells Mary that her son will reign forever. This word refers to a king, one who rules in majesty and glory, the one who will reign. This reminds us again that Mary's baby would be no ordinary baby. This reminds us that Mary was giving birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. While Jesus was in the world, no one really recognized his majesty or his glory or his authority. No one really saw him for who he was. Isaiah 53 verses 1 through 3 tells us, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. The King of Glory, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, here's the condition of man. We hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten, or crushed by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, because that is why he came. He came to die for the sins of his people. No matter what you think of Christ, know that he has come to save his people from their sins, to live a perfect life, and to die in our place, to fulfill the demands of the law in our place, to die on the cross. Some looked at him and saw a poor Jewish carpenter. The Jews saw him that way. Some looked at him and saw a revolutionary. one who stared at the people. That's the way the Jewish leaders looked at him. Some looked at him as a healer. The people around the tomb of Lazarus looked at him this way. Some looked at him as a mere earthly king, those who witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. Some looked at him and saw an innocent man. Pilate, he saw an innocent man. Some looked at him and saw the Son of God, Martha and Simon Peter. A few looked at him and saw a righteous man. The pagan centurion, the Roman centurion. No one saw him for who he really was. Peter, James, and John caught a glimpse of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And even then, seeing him in his glory, man didn't fully understand just who he was. Look at Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8 with me. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Here he is, transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And he goes on and says, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. We are to hear him. Jesus Christ, here's Peter, James, and John. They're beholding his glory, and they're trying to give other glory to Moses and Elijah. Let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. No, there's one tabernacle. There's one throne that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sits on. We're not to listen to Moses. We're not to listen to Elijah. We are to listen to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. No one else. People don't take Moses' name in vain. People don't take Elijah's name in vain. They take the name of Jesus Christ in vain. For he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Even the apostles didn't fully recognize him that day, who he was. He lived, he died as God, walking among men, and very few even had the slightest idea who he was. But know this, all that, my friend, will change one day. There's coming a day when all the world will know who this Jesus Christ is in all of his glory. All the monkey business, all the funs and games, all the scheming, the shucking and jiving, all the lies, all the tales, all the wickedness, all of the men and women that are ruling the reign. When this Jesus Christ returns in glory, his enemies will know. Everybody will know. Every eye will see. Every eye that has ever lived will see this Jesus Christ. This one who at Christmas time we see as a babe in the manger. We see little plastic statues on people's lawns. We see Santa Claus, we see Christmas trees, we see all these things. But one day, the world will see Jesus Christ as he truly is, as he rules and reigns today, as he sits on the throne. The whole world, one day, will finally see Jesus Christ. Let us look at a couple passages in closing. I want to lift up the name that is above every name, the one who is reigning and who will reign. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. If you are an enemy of Christ, if you are not a child of God, you are his enemy. If you think so or not. If you say, well, I don't believe, but I'm not an enemy of you. If you don't believe, you're an enemy. If you don't believe, you're condemned. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. So much for the gentle Jesus. And makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. For any of you that would belong to an organization that would change the scripture, John 1:1, that would want to change the scripture and pervert the scripture, his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. For all of you that place your hopes in your country, he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And someday, everybody is going to see that. Everyone is going to see the one on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So be real careful when you take that name in vain. Be real careful. And let me close with this portion of scripture, Revelation 20. Verses 10 through 15. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's not annihilation. That's forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. The earth and the heaven fled away. Oh man, oh woman, oh boy, oh girl, who would you think that you are? That you think that you can stand before God, that you can stand before Jesus Christ. The heavens and the earth fled away, and I saw the dead, small and great. Where do you find yourself today? Standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of the life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Where do you find yourself this Christmas season? Do you find yourself knowing Jesus Christ? Do you find yourself adoring him, worshiping him, loving him, submitting to him, obeying him, believing him, trusting him? Or are you in rebellion against him? Do you find yourself that you love your sin? You love yourself? That this world is all about you and what you can achieve, what you can become, what you can possess, what you can rule and reign over? Or is your life about Christ? For me, to live is Christ. That is the clarion call on each and every one of our lives. You either are a subject of this king that I have just spoken to you about, this one that was born in a manger, that would die on Calvary to save his people from their sins, that would become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who would rule and reign forever. So today, where do you find yourself this Christmas season? Will you spend eternity in heaven with the one who rules and reigns forever? Or will you spend an eternity in hell before the King of Kings who rules and reigns forever? Satan don't rule and reign in hell. God Almighty rules and reigns over every molecule of this universe that there has ever been or ever will be. So, you've heard the bad news, but most of all, you've heard the good news. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will, come. If you're thirsty, come. Come to the river of life. You're hungry, come to the bread of life and be fed. Are you brokenhearted? Come to the one that heals the brokenhearted. Come to this Jesus Christ. Come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. As I said, where do you find yourself this Christmas season? For Jesus Christ has come. And in Isaiah 61, it said of Jesus Christ, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." My friend, today is the acceptable day of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, for today is the day of salvation, the acceptable year of the Lord. Come to Christ today. If you've come to Christ today, rejoice, for the King of Kings.